Well, welcome everybody to the Feminist Harvest Session on Women's Studies Without Walls. My name is Marion, and this is Ruth, and we thought we'd come and tell you a little bit about the Women's Studies Without Walls conference and workshops that we're doing in London. And if anybody's interested in organising something similar outside of London, then maybe we can talk about that. And if not, we can talk about other things. Okay, do you want to say hello?
My name's Ruth. I am a regular volunteer at Feminist Library, I've been there about a year, and my main thing is sort of outreach and events type things, so this is kind of, well, it kind of fits into both, basically.
And I started something called the London Irish Women's Network, which is really just an email newsletter, which we started up late last year, in response to Savita Hallock and Arbus Depp in the west of Ireland. And we got asked to do a workshop at the Women's Studies Without Walls conference, and as a consequence, we decided to do a few sessions in the seminars as well. So that's how I got here. So we thought we'd maybe do a quick one around, and people might like to say a little bit about who they are. Well, you know, their name and what
they're interested in. Maybe like a sentence about what made you come to this workshop, why you're interested in Women's Studies Without Walls.
Is that right?
If you like.
Can we start?
I'm Charlotte. I'm doing a PhD, so I guess I'm interested in ways to make sure that it's not too insular and kind of just academic-y and kind of looking outwards.
What are you doing your PhD in?
It's about intersex and kind of exploring the medicalisation of gender and bodies.
Great.
I'm Jane. I came to the Women's Studies Without Walls conference, which was absolutely terrific. And I have to catch a train, so I'm going to get 10 minutes. I'm just going to creep out.
I'm Rose. I'm also doing a PhD. But mine's about young women's participation in activism. So I'm really interested in that idea that activism and academia can be complementary, or are they, and that sort of thing. And also, yeah, just kind of trying to, I mean, from my own experience, I've done lots of stuff kind of women's studies wise, like for university, but how do you take that out to people who aren't at university, or how do you make it relevant? Okay.
My name's Dan, I'm a librarian, and I've read out the library online,
but
some pieces, I just wanted to come and find out more.
Hi, my name's Danny. I'm also doing a PhD. Mine's about anarchism and the Spanish Civil War. And it's the first time I've heard about Women's Studies Without Walls, and I think it sounds really exciting and interesting, so I thought it was fun.
My name is Mark, and I have a PhD. I'm actually working in academia, and I teach history and gender studies, but in an East Asia context, University of Sheffield. So I've been trying to revamp, we're fairly new in the position, trying to revamp the content of history modules to be more kind of gender and feminist oriented in the kinds of content that we teach.
Okay. I'm Susan, I'm a US transplant living in Glasgow, and I sort of came to my own consciousness through women's liberation in the US in the 70s, and also a socialist, and a former childcare worker, so I'm interested in integration of all those interests.
I'm Vania. I am a pharmacist. I am particularly interested about the problems that are affecting women right now, and I've been discovering a lot of women diagnosed with depression and things like that. So I'm particularly interested about everything related with what really differentiates in the society women from men, and how is it affecting the way medical is seen.
Yeah, I'm Alex. I came here to work. I've been here for 4 months. I'm a computer programmer, and I am just interested in here. We came here to see what's going on in this scene.
Let's hope you find it worth your while. You can be next.
Oh, sorry. My name's Erin. I'm my husband's background
sometimes I'm part of a collective called Feminist Fight Back, which approaches feminist politics from a kind of capitalist perspective and looks at, and you know, tries very much to think about how different kind of types of oppression intersect in the way people experience them. What, I don't know what the question is actually.
I was just to say your name.
What's my name?
I that way. As you just come in, your name quickly and why you're here.
My name's Stephen. I'm here to just hear what you have to say.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, so I thought first of all I'd kind of give a brief summary about the Feminist Library. It's been around since 1975. It was set up by a group of radical women, and it's tucked away in a falling down building in Waterloo, in London. It's completely run by volunteers, and it relies on donations from visitors and its users and things. And when we have bookstalls and things like this, like the money that we, you know, get in from selling second-hand books and stuff. So as well as housing lots of books and magazines and things like that, it also has a space for feminists to meet, organise, hold events, and it's also open to anyone who's interested in any kind of social justice, really. So we're open to anyone who wants to book out a meeting room. So I'll tell you a bit about the Women's Studies Without Walls project, what it is, how it came about, and why, and also what we mean by without walls as well. So the ideas behind the project had been floating around for quite a while, but we were propelled into action when a group of anti-capitalists squatted a building in October in the lead up to the big TUC demo in London in and so they contacted the Feminist Library and they contacted various groups to ask if they could provide any workshops for their project, which is called the Cuts Cafe. We didn't really have any time to prepare for it, or not very much time, but we did manage to get together a series of workshops, and we called them Autonomous Women's Studies, which is quite a boring name, but you know, that changed. So each one was going to be on a different topic. In the end, just due to circumstances with the building and squatting and timetabling, whatever else, the workshops didn't end up going ahead, which was quite annoying, but we basically thought, well, you know, like, whatever, we're going to put them on anyway, but we'll have them as a freestanding weekend sort of gathering at Feminist Library. And so we got together a group of interested women, which was a mixture of grassroots activists and academics, and we just ended up having a big brainstorming session, and we had a big discussion about the nature of feminist education, about you know, women exploring their systematic oppression and deciding to take radical action. So the main things that came up, we talked about issues of inaccessibility and alienation, and from this discussion came the title Women's Studies Without Walls. So the term walls can be interpreted in quite a few ways. But in our meeting, people were saying, like, well, you know, you have quite elitist language in academic feminism in women's studies, and it's a barrier. So if you, you know, if you're trying to get published as an academic, you haven't really got a choice. You've got to use, you know, lots of theory, lots of like heavy methodology, which isn't really comprehensible to most people. You know, another barrier was economic class. You know, particularly since the coalition government. And neoliberalism has also meant that a lot of the spaces and buildings that women use to organise have been taken away from us. So the most famous probably that I can think of in the last year has been Women's Library, but also like the Lambeth Women's Project and some of the smaller grassroots projects that have been, that were happening. So we wanted to build a weekend that would reconcile academia with autonomous women's struggle. To share ideas and skills with each other, raise our consciousness and work together on an intergenerational level so everyone could learn from everybody and everyone was valued. It went pretty well. We had about 100 people despite the snow. I'm going to give you a handout. Do you want to start passing those around? Which is, it's just a printout of the timetable we had, just so you kind of get an idea what the weekend was like. The building that we occupy is shared with a few different groups, but because it was the weekend, we were able to have access to some of the empty rooms that we could use those for meetings. And we did you know, there were things we ran into, but we learned a lot from it, and it was a really valuable experience. So since January, quite a lot has come out with the Women's Centre Without Walls project that we've been doing. We've got a few new consciousness raising groups that have just sprung up around London. I've just joined one. And you know, lots of connections have been made across the country. We're trying to expand outside of London, so that because you know, a lot of the time London is seen as like, this is the hub, this is where it's at, and then it's a kind of vicious circle. So at the moment we're running a spring and summer series. So you can see the programme of events we're holding. And so the weekend was a kind of launch for this project, and now we're running a series, and we're also planning an autumn and winter series as well. And that's basically all I was going to say on that.
In terms of the planning of the forward series, we just said something like we'll make a Tuesday night available, and then can people fill the slots? So once a month on a certain Tuesday night, you know, there's a slot. So we then look to see if we can fill the first few. And then the other way is when people come forward and say, we'd like to do something, but maybe it doesn't fit in the slot, but we'd like to be in the programme. So with the London Irish Women, we decided that it would suit the people who would come in better to come on a Sunday afternoon. So we've slotted ours in on that. So it's really a kind of a very open programme with just a few kind of bits of structure to it, close together, but apart from that, it's very open. The Feminist Library's policy is
in terms of using the library, anyone can come and do research, that's fine. But the weekend that we held in January, we did agree that it was going to be self-defining women only, and we did have a tremendous discussion about that.
For another day. Can I just ask you a quick question before you leave? You were at the one in London.
I was.
And where are you based?
I live here.
In Sheffield. Are you interested in some kind of Women Without Walls?
No, I'm a support.
Put
it that way.
Thanks
for asking the question. There is actually, I've got a question for you.
Yeah.
Resources. Are you making resources, a list of resources like bibliographies available?
Not really.
In the sense that we've got a website and there are things that we could potentially share. We don't have the most huge technical knowledge, but we're getting there. But we are there as an entity. The Feminist Library once upon a time was supported by the GLC, and so it had a building and out of that. But it's managed to keep going as self-supporting, and unlike a lot of other organisations that were grant funded the whole time, we lost the grant and shut down. It's kept going, hanging on by a bit, but it is still there. So there seems to be enough search, and there's every possibility that if somebody made a suggestion, that we'd be able to pick up on it. Don't be shy. Your expertise as well as your ideas.
Sorry.
And I think that was going to take us to the question of whether people had any more questions or issues that you wanted to ask. Thoughts about at event. Some people said, we really must hold one outside of London. And then immediately started, where should it be? And we're sitting there deciding. And half the people who were from outside of London wanted to come and been stopped from coming because of the snow. So, obviously this kind of thing works better where people are on the ground and interested and want to put something together. So we thought maybe it'd be easier if we kind of shared what we've done, and anybody who's interested could see if they, if you want ideas about, brainstorming what people want to work together on their separate points where we could look at that as well. But first of all, maybe people have questions or thoughts or comments.
Yes. So you were saying that people can suggest topics for workshops, or they can or initiate?
Yeah.
Okay, so is there are no restrictions on the types of topics? I mean, if anyone wants...
There is a question. I wouldn't know would be my answer to that, in that there's a kind of a broadly radical feminist socialist kind of consensus as to where precisely anybody would come down in relation to that. I don't know, but we haven't got a particular...
We haven't come up with... I mean, so far... Like there hasn't been an issue where that might have come up.
There's been an issue. So people could make a suggestion. I couldn't guarantee 100% that nobody would say,
But I'm only saying that to preempt anybody saying you promised we could do anything with that.
What were you thinking? Did you have something in mind?
Well, I just kept noticing the topics. I didn't notice anything sort of explicitly quote political. I mean, as an anti-capitalist perspective, socialism or anarchism or anything like that. And I was wondering whether you sort of try to make it more general and possibly non-controversial.
No,
or
it was just to do with what people were offering and wanted to do subjects on. I should think that there would be a growing interest in things. I mean, one of the things that was very stark about the conference was that people were either over 55-ish or under, how old are you?
I'm 22.
Yes, yeah, so under 25-ish. And that was the kind of, and that was very interesting in terms of the age profile. So what we were really seeing was a lot of younger women who were very interested in these debates and who, you know, maybe were having experiences. Surprisingly, even in some of the colleges, you would tell us, that you know, on some of the campuses, there have been attacks on women, and the institutions weren't really doing enough to organise about that, and women had to organise around it. So that was kind of surprising for some of us older people to hear that that kind of thing still goes on. And then there was an interest in the history, there was an interest in things like consciousness raising seemed to have disappeared from people's vocabulary. But then again, the idea of the personal and the political being connected has always had its difficulties. It's not like a nirvana that somehow it was the answer to everything. It's a kind of a construct that we used often. But if you look as well at something like the Spare Rib newspaper, Spare Rib magazine, it's talking about coming online now. And Spare Rib, when it started in the 1970s, was very different to the Spare Rib when it finished in the 1990s. So there wasn't one single Spare Rib, so it'd be kind of interesting to see which incarnation of Spare Rib or not at all that we see. And I think we have the same about, I mean, it felt like there's a lot of interest and a great deal of excitement about, you know, getting all of the stuff going again, and that there's quite a bit of activism on the ground, and quite a lot of room for people who maybe aren't experts, but just kind of know one or two things and would like to share. And then people who are doing very specific work, like you mentioned, you know, who want to open it out, but maybe a gap has grown up because there hasn't been a lot of popular discussion, but people in academia are developing their ideas and there isn't any audience for them outside of academia. And that's both not very healthy for their work, but also it's not very healthy for activists who are very cut off from anybody doing any theoretical work to support their work. And also, it tends to make activists invisible if nobody's writing about them on their own. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Were there any other questions or ideas people had?
So, if people only came because they're interested, if they don't want any, or they do want women's studies but they feel they wouldn't like to land themselves in their own work or women's studies.
Sorry, I know I did come in late. I was hoping that there would be something that was Sheffield specific, and I'm not sure if you've already covered that.
No, we haven't.
London and Sheffield.
No, because we just had the event in London.
Yeah.
People came down, some people weren't able to come because of the snow, and at it, it was clear that there is an interest nationally. But when we got to talking about where we might, you know, go next, as where there was an argument about the two places that were offered and a critique of it, why each one was wrong, it was just kind of silly. And we realised that actually it has to come from different areas.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if it's any help to people who haven't been around as long as I have, there used to be things like networks of women in Ireland, groups of troops set movement, of anti-racist organisations all across England and Scotland. And Sheffield was one of the places where you always had lots of those kind of organisations. In fact, you still do. You have the Community Media Association, don't you, the national one, and the National Association of Councils for Voluntary Action, which is in Sheffield as well. So there is a great radical tradition in Sheffield. So it would be quite expected that there would be a core of people here who might like to organise and who might find it reasonably easy to do. But equally, I mean, Leeds was, there was a lot of activity in Leeds and lots of other cities.
It probably would have been handy at the beginning if we'd said where we lived.
Oh yeah, there's a bunch. We do that. Where do you live?
Yeah.
I live in Leeds.
You live in Leeds. Sheffield.
Sheffield.
Leicester.
Sheffield.
Manchester.
Sheffield.
Sheffield.
Glasgow.
Sheffield. Glasgow, Manchester, Leeds, and the rest of you are Sheffield, isn't it? So.
What do the Sheffielders think?
Should the Sheffielders all sit in one room?
And the rest of us just
don't work in Amateur. What do you think? Should we? Would the people from Sheffield like to get together in a group and talk about whether you would want to do something locally or is it premature?
I'm going to be leaving soon, so I don't
know. I'm not from Sheffield, but Leicester's close enough, so yeah. I'd be happy to come up and do so. I mean, Sheffield seems like a good place to do it, just in terms of kind of what the amount of stuff that's going on and kind of the number of people with those sorts of interests and skills, but I don't know if you don't live here.
Obviously, just to have us all be here for a Sheffield's discussion, because it might be,
yeah,
you know, some, we might all get ideas.
Yeah. So, what kind of something would you have? What would you like? What's not there that you would like?
I mean, I'd like anything.
But I mean, I'm in Leicester and there's nothing. So, I think anything would be an advantage. I don't know how you would. Kind of to whom you would direct it, or what you would do it around, and I think that would probably be part of the thing, would be to find out the thing that get most people kind of animated and
okay. So here's some questions.
I think because I'm thinking trying to go beyond the obvious parties who would be interested and try and, you know, people who maybe think feminism meaning.
What I was just going to suggest was. Because I suppose there's two kinds of people, and when you talk about women's studies in that world, one tends to be people who are in academia or doing women's studies or something related, and people who are activists, and sometimes they overlap. And I was just going to ask, what about here? How many people here would regard themselves as activists of some sort? Okay, and how many people would regard themselves as academics of some sort? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Okay, so supposing you were having sessions where activists and academics were suggesting things and people were putting forward something they were interested in talking about from their activist perspective or their academic perspective, and came up with a few topics, and then you looked at them and you said, well, do I think I would like to go to more than the one I'm interested in? And then you almost have a group of people who are interested in meeting to talk about these topics, and then you can advertise it and more people can come. Would that work?
So again, because I wasn't here, I'm unclear whether we're talking about like a series of things, like are we talking about like a regular reading group type of thing, or are we talking about a 1 or 2 day event? What you just described could lend itself to either.
Indeed.
So you either stretch it out, or you have it as a self-contained intensive thing, which organisationally would be more work.
This is very true. And once off, it's an easier.
I just had a couple of quick questions. One was, I guess, the question, I don't want to get into the discussion about why I made a decision about self-defined women only participating, but I think that's probably something that's worth talking about, at least in the general sense, considering the makeup of the room is a little bit mixed. And the other question was really about how you deal with controversial debates that have often divided feminist politics. I mean, I know you touched on this briefly in your question, but I mean, I also get the feeling that this is very much, the kinds of topics you're talking about here are quite
safe,
yeah. Mm. And so, I mean, have you had any of those kind of debates within the collective where people had quite different, you know, large disagreements, and how have you handled them, I guess, is the question I wanted to ask.
I'm not very much in the collective, I'm just involved with women's studies with their wards.
Okay.
And my take on it is just that a lot of people haven't been organising. There's an awful lot of people who have just been kind of not doing very much on social media. You should be doing something, somebody should be doing something, or
yeah.
It's so awful. So these debates are like start-offs,
yeah.
And that as they draw people in, that the debates will surface. But the other thing that I feel really pleased about is that they allow a lot of move on. There are new issues or old issues presented themselves in very different ways.
Mm.
And so it gives, particularly the new people, a chance to come and just articulate what they've got to say. And then if older people, in the main, I think, will do, but they may not all do, have the patience to allow people to come at the issues and go and not impose former stuff on it, that we might kind of find ways of finding our way through the debates. I mean, we have had one response to the thing we sent out about the Magdalene laundries, where we're having someone who was, you know, in... And we just put out a note about it. You know, we've had one kind of thing bang back through one network, and it's, you know, basically we're not critical enough and certainly all the rest of it. But I mean, it doesn't really greatly bother me that they've said that, and it doesn't greatly, I think, match what we said. That doesn't worry me greatly. If that person turned up at the meeting and was kind of
listened to the speaker and was attacking without paying attention, I would feel that would be something I'd want to do something about. But if it's just a conversation, then we just do that as well. So I would like to see lots of spaces that just hold debates and don't try and make people agree with one another, or don't try and say that there has to be a line or any of those kind of things, because in my own experience, feminism is very, like, it's been a useful way to look at the world and to think about things, but it's not a religion. When I had enough of the first one that I got, thank you. I don't need another one.
There was, so the weekend that we held in January, I do remember, I think it was the session on intersectionality, which ended up being a shouting match between two women who had both, well, one woman had grown up into like a Muslim family, and she was about to get married to someone who wasn't a Muslim, and there was kind of like sort of difficulties, but she was kind of saying, well, but it's all kind of nice and egalitarian and stuff. And then this other woman was like, woo, and she'd grown up into a family that was a mixture of like, she'd grown up in Russia, and like one side of her family was like Orthodox, like Russian Orthodox Christian, and the other half was like Orthodox Islam. And so she'd had a totally different experience from the first woman, and they just ended up having a bit of an argument. But I don't know, like, I mean, I suppose it was controversial, but like it was more that we were kind of allowing the space for that kind of organic debate to happen. And actually, like, they didn't really fall out over it. They did have an argument in the session, but afterwards, like, you know, they kind of sorted it out, and it wasn't an issue anymore.
You call it an argument. Would you describe it as a discussion?
Yeah, they were basically shouting at each other. But
so the person of being political sometimes gets a bit too personal.
Yeah.
Or very personal. Let's not say too personal. Very personal.
Mm.
In a way that can be oppressive. I mean, I felt oppressive. But that's fine. I'm sure lots of people have.
Yeah.
I saw that episode.
I like fights personally. I don't steer away from. I don't mind fights.
You don't mind fights.
Yeah.
No.
But I think it's interesting that these things come up usually when you mix up feminism and religion. These two things can be very reactive together because they are totally connected. So it's not like you can. Well, I know England has a lot of intention to respect everyone's religion and everything, but what I found in here is that you see a lot of differences in the streets, like a lot of Muslim women and things like that. And I cannot pretend that it doesn't affect me personally to see a woman covered from the top of her head to her toes. And probably if I have an argument, let's say, of any nature, would be because of something like that. And when you mix religion, I think it's very hard to get to a point when you do that. Because in the end, you're not having a fair argument, because you're talking about one thing is freedom or equality, whatever, and in the end, you're ending up discussing about a thing that you cannot touch. It's like something inside a bubble. You cannot. It's like.
I mean, that's interesting, because I think one of the criticisms we could most certainly make of our event was we had practically no black women in there, and it's in a part of London where there are lots and lots and lots of black women. And if you look at the women's centres that have survived the cuts, they're predominantly ones run by minority ethnic women. And in a way, they've kept very close to community needs and working with women and working with domestic violence away from them and all of those kind of things. Quite a lot of the services around rape and domestic violence in London have been kind of contracted to organisations that were feminist organisations, but, you know, larger and larger conglomerates of groups running things across much larger geographical areas. And I'm sure for them, I don't know the ins and outs of them, there are difficulties about keeping a feminist practice in that kind of context. So it's kind of interesting that there are a lot of minority ethnic women's groups, and that when some feminists under that kind of rubric got together at a feminist venue, we weren't easily able to draw in black minority ethnic women. And I mean, one of the reasons I work at a women's centre, which is predominantly black minority ethnic, for a few hours a week, and the manager from there, I would have normally said to come, but they keep the centre so beautiful and clean and lovely and artistic, and ours is so grubby and awful and run down, that you kind of just thought, oh God, I couldn't ask her to come out of the office. I kind of wondered what on earth we're like. So it seems to me there are a whole lot of issues of differing practice that have grown up over the years, and that we haven't got anywhere near in theoretical terms of talking about that. So this beginning of the conversation is when I think we need to really, you know, face with a very open mind, and not just about who's in the room. But one of the problems with feminism has always been who's not in the room.
Yes.
Because when people talk the personal as political, they tend to talk from their personal experience and from their knowledge. And for all kinds of reasons, we didn't always have the ability to kind of know an awful lot. But like the London that we have today, and I'm sure it's pretty similar in Sheffield and other cities, is much, much more diverse. So it's not simple, it's not automatic that we'll have, you know, diverse groups of people involved, but it's not too difficult, because we would anticipate, I would anticipate anyway, that this Women's Studies Without Walls, that as soon as we get a little bit down the line and start planning, say, the next half of the year, that we'd be in a better position once we know how it runs, to go out and knock on the door of some of these organisations and say, would you come and talk about this area that you know such a huge amount about? And maybe from what you're doing, we could kick off a discussion about this, say, women's centres that are still providing services for women, something like that. Yeah. So I think that's the thing. There's a lot of potential in it, but if we just try and work along the narrow tracks that we were on before, without learning all of the things that, you know, we've developed hugely in London in the last 20, 30 years in terms of the courses. You know, I don't know if many people here remember when, you know, the kind of things that we've said to people's faces were quite appalling, let alone what we've done to people when no one is looking. You know, I mean, there is a feeling that it's fragile, that it's not always well underpinned, in that there are lots of people around who don't understand why certain kinds of behaviour aren't acceptable. They know they mustn't do them. But maybe 2 or 3 years down the line in a recession, like the kind of cuts we're having now, that kind of thing might come back. You know, so it's really quite important that we're thoughtful and careful. I think, and anyway, I've talked about it.
I think there's also the question of follow through, and specifically when it comes to building like a more diverse feminist movement, because I work, like my PhD, I do a lot of work with minority ethnic women's groups, and especially minor women's groups, and you do have a thing where like so refugee groups are invited to speak at like a women's conference, but actually getting white feminists to like do the groundwork and like go on the anti the No Borders protest and come to the organizations, that is really, really hard. Like, there are always things that are considered more important, even though my opinion is very little that's more important. And so there's that, and then often when white feminists do get involved, rather than taking like a grassroots approach and recognizing that these women are like the experts of their own lives, often there is like a, but we're so clever, we should be in charge,
yeah,
kind of vibe happening as well. So I mean, I think this is a really great idea, but I think it has to be like, there's gonna be like activist follow through with it as well.
And this is sometimes the area where people who are in formal women's studies and stuff, you know, have got reach sometimes. They can bring someone,
yeah,
who's got, you know, you know, kind of when people come from an activist background, sometimes they're very good at talking in their own environment, but if you bring them somewhere else where it's different, it's not so easy, you know. But anyway, yes, I think there's a lot to be done with the crossover, but I agree with you.
If I could just, I'm going to say a couple of things about, I guess, maybe going back to the question of doing more, you know, Sheffield-based, outside of London organising. I'm just going to say some things. I've recently moved to Sheffield, and I've been quite involved in kind of collectives in London, which, and so I'm quite aware of the sort of amount of energy and work that it takes, like a lot of people to sustain those kind of groups. Since I've arrived in Sheffield, I've met some really good people. I've started seeing really interesting things going on. I've kind of really thought like there is space and there's potential to bring together. I guess my particular interest is in kind of organising an anti-capitalist feminist perspective, because I think both of those things are so important and can't exist without each other. And you know, I don't think you can separate out those impressions. And I think that they necessarily have to include anti-racist politics as well. So I think that there, I feel like there should be space in Sheffield, particularly in this climate, to do more anti-capitalist feminist stuff. But that thing about energy is such a problem. You know, I've kind of got together with, you know, the people I kind of know, like, we've said, yes, we're going to do this, yes, we will do this, we'll start running stuff. And, but I kind of hasn't quite... No, I want to say, actually, I've started up a new thing, I'm enjoying it more, but I haven't, because the momentum isn't there yet. I'm also... kind of with my comrade from Feminist Fightback, we've often talked about doing kind of Feminist Fightback North, again, kind of across different cities and different kind of energies. I think we're coming away feeling a bit more like, actually, we might do something, and it's, you know, feeling a bit more optimistic. I don't mean to be negative, but I think that alongside this feeling of like, yeah, it would be really great, I think there's also something we have to be realistic about how much work and effort these things take. And if you've got a space that's existed for 30 or 40 years and there's a collective already there, it's kind of easier to build on stuff that you've got already than to start new things. I think this programme sounds amazing. I'd really like to be involved in doing stuff outside of London. I don't want to be like, I don't want to say, yeah, I'll do it, because I won't. I know I won't. And that would be a shame. I also wanted to just say one other thing about kind of divisiveness, that I think that it's really nice if you can get lots of people together and do quite united things, but I also think sometimes it's really important to be right. And I think there are some people, you know, that I don't work with, and there are, and sometimes you have to draw those lines. I think it's difficult to decide when to and when not to, but if it's kind of a question of working with like transphobic hate groups or rape apologists, then, you know, sometimes you do have to draw those lines. I know that's quite difficult and not always a popular message to say anything, but so I guess that's why maybe kind of having like policies and like safe spaces ideas kind of to. I'd also say that one of the things I think is really great in Sheffield is Ladyfest, who do kind of a yearly thing, but also kind of other events in between. That's one of the things I've kind of been excited to go along with stuff they're doing. And that, so that kind of feels like that's potentially like those kind of groupings of people there that can be built and extended. And anyway, that's
interesting. Anybody, does that resonate with other people? Because I think... what you said about, you know, and I guess we did create that sense that, you know, people should be doing it. I guess
I didn't mean
it. No, that's fine. I think, but perhaps we did, and if we did put a pressure on, I'm sorry. But that the idea of women's studies without walls and bringing the kind of people who are doing a lot of academic study and people who are activists together, I mean, it's something that can be applied to other areas of work, isn't it? Because a lot of theory about socialism or about anarchism or about communism or whatever, anti-capitalism, you know, where people take it from, not everybody gets access to that, and often people never get any access to any of it really at all, you know, so it's quite possible that, because you asked the question earlier about, you know, events with men in them as well, that there might be a platform for, you know, some a similar kind of methodology, but, you know, applied in a different way, where people, because essentially what we're talking about is people being able to articulate things and theories about their experience and about the world they live in and about how to change it. People being able to, you know, make alliances for different kinds of change. In the world that we're in at the moment, but there's a lot of things that need to be resisted. There's an awful lot of things happening in terms of the cuts, and particularly in the impacts that they're going to have on women. But very often, they're happening, of course, to the people who are least in a position to do anything about them. So where we don't have organisations that are already there, like trade unions who may be able to fight back, it may be that some of these less formal groups that kind of come in between the lines and open up spaces for people to meet and talk and perhaps, you know, do good activity are important. And maybe that's as much as women without, you know, men without walls, you know, kind of chose up just now. Go on then, put your case for men in studies with
everyone. Oh, no. I have no interest in defining how the people organise at all. at all. But, you know, it's simply that I think it is important to recognise that some men have backgrounds working in, you know, pro-feminist organising. And I think in some ways it's good to think about ways in which we can be involved in some way.
Because I think one of the questions that might get thrown back to someone and say, you know, why can't men be in it? That someone said, well, if they're so keen, why don't they organise something on this topic as well?
Absolutely.
Which
yeah.
is also worth looking
good.
At.
Yes.
You know, because there's no doubt about it that the term feminist has got, over the years, connotations that are often very negative. And there are different kinds of reasons why they're negative, and sometimes that might make it very difficult for some women to organise stuff. Whereas a man organising stuff, particularly, you know, pressing in some kind of position like academia, can organise something and people can feel able to come to it without feeling stigma or whatever that's attached to feminism, and that's often a perfect thing.
Absolutely, and that's why it's a lot easier for me to, in some ways, for me to teach feminist history in my classroom than it is perhaps for a woman academic to do that, right? And it's in terms of the way I interact with my students.
Yeah.
Because
the question somebody raised earlier was about, it's not just about feminism and women's rights, that there's a broader context in the world that we're in. I mean, certainly the kind of feminism I was involved in, because I was very much involved around Ireland, and was involved in organising the 1980 Socialist Feminist Conference, which was on the theme of women's oppression and imperialism worldwide. And a lot of that was about, you know, people who were involved in national struggles in other places, it was about racism, it was about what's going on in Ireland. And some socialist feminists at the time kind of saw that conference as having ignored and left out women in this country and their struggles, which was kind of ridiculous because an awful lot of people who were involved in those kind of things actually lived here. You know, there were people who'd come from different parts of the world. So a lot of that stuff never got resolved. A lot of that work never got continued as a block, but people went off, strengthened maybe by the kind of theoretical interface with the practice that was then, and went off and did the other things they were doing, you know, and then the world has moved on since, and we kind of come to these little places from time to time, don't we?
Yeah,
yeah.
Regarding, I always want to compromise book discussions and film showings and discussions. Is that sort of built in some way? Or
yeah, I don't think we included book discussions, but we are showing films and things.
Mm-hmm.
So we showed a few at the January weekend, and then we've got, so in our like series that we're doing now, there's one session that's
I was just going to see if you wanted to move it forward at all in terms of Sheffield, because I had sort of understood that part of the motivation behind having this meeting here at the Sheffield Anarchist Book Fair was not just to talk about what happened in London, but was to try and actually do something here. And with the 15 minutes that we've got, is that what, or is
yes,
there a
meeting
too
long? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so you start in Sheffield. What do you think needs to happen next?
Well, people who are interested would need to get together and sort it out, basically.
Yeah.
So, like, that's not going to happen here and now, so there
what's
will need
your name
to be
again?
Becky.
Becky, so who else wants to meet with Becky or to talk with Becky?
But, you know, I'm very much hearing what you say about, like, it's hard, it takes a lot of energy, it's also disheartening to think that you're going to start a new initiative and then to have that fold around your ears. And so it's kind of, that's why I'm trying to gauge whether there is that energy to do that before kind of enthusing about it and then it, like, have that disheartening experience, really.
Yeah. I suppose the first topic was to be on the feminist fight.
This is supposed to like be a little enticer.
Well, I'm just asking.
I think I'd probably be more interested if it was something more like broader. More maybe rather than kind of maybe like thinking about doing a one-off something might be more manageable.
Yeah.
Because it's not that kind of long-term commitment.
I mean, that's a platform then, isn't it, for further discussion and you know, maybe plans for, you know, so maybe not so fast. It could be bi-month. Could transform into like a bi-monthly meeting, something maybe, and then maybe loose, and then eventually slowly building upwards.
Because I mean, there has been from Ladyfest a move to have like irregular reading groups, and to my knowledge, there's been two Has there been more than two?
Three.
Okay.
Not frequently.
Yeah, and that's kind of, to me, from the outside, like not being totally intimately involved with the organising of them, it's felt like a little bit of a struggle to, you know, find a time and a place and something to read and, you know, it happening. And then the two that I've been to have been very well attended and very, you know, kind of like positive experiences. But there, you know, there are reasons why that's not just flowed. And so, in a way, like if there's already been three of something, maybe it's worth trying to reinvigorate that rather than do something as a new initiative where you've got to start all over again from scratch.
Where is that happening? Meeting?
Do you want to say?
It's just part of Lady YFest. We just kind of hold various different types of events throughout the year, and we decided to do some reading groups because Becky already organised a reading group, and we kind of decided to kind of do it together one time, and then we continued doing it separately. But yeah, I think, like, just to kind of carry on from that, I think for me, my interest, I am really interested in it. I was really excited to hear what you've done. But it would need to have something that kind of made it distinguishable from what Lady YFest currently is, which, I mean, there is like a lot of overlap and quite a lot of time goes into that. So we do a kind of yearly weekend programme of events like this, and there are some academics that are activists. So it already is, it kind of resembles it, yeah. But it could be way more focused on that. It's not like a kind of perfect harmony of activism and academia. It could be more that.
So instead of it kind of creating something like a new, creating Women's Studies Without Walls Sheffield or whatever, you could do more work on expanding Lady YFest.
And maybe just absorb any useful ideas from Women's Studies Without Walls into how you organise it.
Yeah.
Where could I know more about it?
I should have flyers with me or something, but
there's a Facebook page.
Yeah,
it's
a
Facebook.
Okay.
There's
a website.
There's a website.
Right.
That
a website.
We kind of update regularly.
Is it called Lady Fest?
Yeah, Lady YFest Sheffield. So
Lady
Fest with an I, a D, and a Y. But I mean, I don't want this to become like a recruitment exercise.
No, but it's I mean, it is about local organising.
Yeah. And it does, I mean, it does already exist, but it does struggle as well because we don't have a huge number of people behind it. So like Becky says, like the reading group did seem to kind of fall upon me, and I've had loads of stuff to do lately with work, so I just haven't been able to kind of take sole responsibility for doing it, and that meant that it kind of got a bit lost. So yeah, like Erin's point really, it's like kind of having the energy to keep something going. But I would be totally happy for it to exist as something that wasn't Lady YFest if people wanted to kind of take it and do something else with it.
I don't think there's any sense of like rivalry.
No.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Does that sound like a human civil show?
Well, this is a little off topic, but I've been involved in thinking about feminism and broad issues and organizing around International Women's Day and May Day because those two fit so perfectly together in terms of the history of International Women's Day and, of course, May Day. And so, you know, just to kind of put that, you know, just in the mix in terms of how you can organize around these issues, you know, in a collaborative way and in an integrative way.
So might you come down to something in Sheffield or?
Yeah.
Does this feel like the beginnings of a plan for Sheffield in terms of absorbing something?
It feels like the kind of Sheffield people in the room should probably
have a little chat.
Get together in a smaller room, basically, and kind of have a bit of a brainstorming session.
We're running towards the finish time. Has anybody else got anything they'd like to add or throw in? It's been very interesting to meet you all. Very enjoyable discussion. Hope you enjoyed it too. Thank you.